And this morning we want to look at Abraham's life some and look at what that means for us. Look what we can learn from Abraham, the example that he set. And let us see this morning that we are to be children of Abraham. And what does that mean to be children of Abraham? Galatians chapter 3, verse 6 through 9 says this: "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of the faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." So he says that those that are of faith are the children of Abraham, and that we could be blessed with faithful Abraham. So let us consider this morning faith. And in particular, let's look at Abraham's faith and see if we are the children of Abraham. Now, not physically his descendants, but in a spiritual sense, in the faith that we have, are we the children of Abraham? So you can go ahead and turn to Genesis. We're going to be reading, first of all, in Genesis chapter 12 to see Abraham's call. Now, as you look at Abraham's life, it does not, you'll see that it's not a perfect life. So in us as being children of Abraham means to follow in faith. Doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect. We don't have to be perfect, but we have to leave those past failures and follow in faith. As we see Abraham's call here in Genesis chapter 12, we'll want to notice some things about this in verse 1 and see his faith in following the call of God. And here, his name has not yet been changed to Abraham, so you'll see Abram instead. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee." So the very first thing we notice here is we want to point out, he says, "And the Lord had said," had, past tense. He had already told Abram at this point in our story. Abram had already been told what to do. He has been told earlier to leave out of his country and from his kindred and from his father's house. And Stephen, in the book of Acts, where Stephen gives his sermon before they stone him there, Stephen makes mention of this calling of Abram. He says this, Acts chapter 7, verse 2, and he said, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan." And we'll see in a minute when he dwelt in Charan. "And said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into a land that I will show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldees, and dwelt in Charan," or Haran as it was called in the Old Testament. "And from thence," let's see, verse 4, "Then he came out of the land of the Chaldees, and dwelt in Charan," or Haran, "and from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into the land wherein ye now dwell." So we see a little bit in this about the land where ye now dwell was Canaan land, and that's where God had told him to go. It's where God was calling him to go. But he was first called out of the Chaldees land. And so we'll go back and look at at some more of this, but you can see that there was a difference of where he was called from, where he was going, and where he went. This Charan that we read here in the Old Testament is called Haran, and we're in Genesis chapter 12. Let's look back at chapter 11 and see this, where he was previously called. And look at his father. Terah was Abraham's father, and looks like he only partly obeyed the command that Abraham would leave his country and go to the land that God was showing. In Genesis chapter 11, let's read verse 31. And it says, "And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarah, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. And they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there." And this Haran that they came to and they dwelt there is the place that Stephen was referring to, that Abram had been called before he went to Haran and dwelt there. He had been called out of the land of Chaldees, and it was before he went into the land of Canaan. So it looks like Abram left his home. He left Ur of the Chaldees, but he stopped short of going on to Canaan. It looks like he stopped short. He didn't go all the way. But in looking at this, we see that he is called out. He is called to get out. Get out of that land. As Genesis 12 and 1 put it, God told him, "Get thee out. Out of the country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house. Get thee out." And so let's stop and look at that for a little bit. As Christians, we have similar instruction to get out. Get thee out. Paul applies these similar instructions to Christians in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It says, "Wherefore come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." See how similar this is to Abraham's call? How that he was to get thee out, to get out of that country that he was. Christians are called to come out from among them, to come out and to be separate. So what will you do? What will you do with this call that you have as a Christian to come out from among them? Will you come out? Will you live differently? Will you go right on your life, living the way that you want to live life? Live your life your way, and you'll look just like the world. Or will you get thee out? We want to be faithful. We want to have faith. We want to be those children of Abraham. That's where the blessing is. We need to follow Abraham's example in that Abraham did leave. He did leave. And we need to get out. Call out. Come out from among them. And we see this same calling in other places. Peter, whenever he preached the first gospel sermon, you see something similar there. And he said, "Save yourself from this untoward generation." The culture. I think that's what he's referring to. This untoward generation. Don't be like this culture. Save yourself from this untoward generation. Be different from the culture. We see it there. Also, in Revelation, where John is describing all the things that he saw there, and some of those things are hard to understand, all of what's going on, but John said this. He said, "I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out from her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sin, and that ye receive not of her plagues." So this is a voice from heaven And he calls his people, come out from her. Come out. Christians are instructed to get out of some things. And I think we know that. There are things that we are instructed to get out of, to get away from. But it goes even beyond that. We're even told to flee, to run away, or to escape. That's what the flee means. Flee, run away or escape. In 1 Corinthians 6 and 18, it tells us to flee fornication. There are several things that Christians are instructed to flee. Fornication. We're to get away from that. Get out. Run away. Or escape. That's what it means to flee. 1 Corinthians 10, where he talks about the familiar verses that tell us about God not tempting us above what we can withstand, but he will make a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. He says, wherefore, because of this, beloved, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. There's something to flee. Run away from idolatry. When we trust in other things, put other things up before God, we have idolatry. When we put our work in something else, that's worship of something else. That's idolatry. And we are to flee idolatry. Another thing that we're told to flee in 1 Timothy 6 and 11, we're told to flee the desire to be rich. That's a trap. It's compared to a trap that we need to escape, flee the desire to be rich. Do we see ourselves running from that? As you look at your own life and your own call to escape, to be different from the world, to be called out and separate, do you see yourself running from the desire to be rich? Another thing we're told as Christians that we should flee is youthful lust. Paul is telling Timothy some things in 2 Timothy 2. He tells him of some things that he should avoid. He said to avoid foolish and unlearned questions and to shun profane and vain babblings. But then in verse 22, right after telling him to avoid these things and to shun these things, he says also to flee youthful lust. Youthful lust. The lust of the youth. Maybe even the lust of the youth, of youth itself. We know lust harms our heart. It causes us to not have the right focus and have our right perspective. It's an indication that our priorities are not right whenever we're lusting after other things. For God will provide for us. As Brian prayed this morning, how that God, we know He provides for us and He gives us what we need. And when we have faith in Him, we won't lust for those things that we want. But see, there's also, here in this, there's the distinction of avoiding. He says, here are some things to avoid, but flee, also flee youthful lust. And I think those are two different things, to avoid and to flee. Flee means to run, to get away from it. Both are to get away and to not have anything to do with it. But to avoid something doesn't quite carry the weight of flee from it. Run and get away from it. When you read your Bible and you read these things that we are to flee from, that's putting an emphasis on the getting away. I was thinking of how to illustrate this, and I don't know, this is what I came up with, but maybe you go up here to Walmart, and there's a salesman that you've seen before, and he knows you, and he seems like he's always selling you something. And so you try to avoid him. You walk into Walmart, and you see him over there a few aisles down, and you say, oh, there's that guy. I'm going to avoid him. He's on that side. I'm going to go over here and shop for a while. You turn an aisle, and there you see him. He's on the aisle. You need something. You go on to the next aisle, and you stay away. That's avoid. But now let's contrast that with fleeing. What would it mean to flee? Suppose you go into Walmart, and you look over there on the other side, and there's a guy that's got a hood over his face, and he's carrying a gun. Now, you going to avoid him? You're going to stay on this side of the store, and if you turn the aisle and there's a guy with a gun and a mask he's putting on, you go, I'll go on the next aisle and keep shopping. You're going to flee. You're going to get out of there. And that's the emphasis that we should read when we read this word flee in the Bible. There are some things that we need to make sure as Christians that we avoid. But there are some things, youthful lust, fornication, idolatry, those are three that we read right here that we are to flee from. That means to put an emphasis on it, to get away from it quickly, to get far away from it. And Abraham was told, get thee out. And as Christians, we are to get out, to be different from the world. But there are some things that we're further told that we're to get away quickly, to flee from. So now let's look. Let's look at some of these things that Abraham was told to get away from. Abraham was told that he would leave his country, his kindred, and his father's house. What are those things? Those are familiar things. Abraham was told to leave his country, the things that he was familiar with, the place that he was familiar with, the culture around him that he was familiar with. He left that, and God was going to take him to another culture, another area. And we may find comfort in familiarity, but we need rather to find our comfort in God and in His assurances. And trust in God rather than trusting in other people for our security. Many times, it's the security of other people that allows us or enables us to continue in our problems. They continue in our sin. And the difficult thing that we may have to do is to get away from those people. Abraham was called to leave those familiar things. And then it goes beyond that, leaving. He also was called to go somewhere specific. God says, go where I will show thee. That's where he told him. He called out, get thee out of this from thy country, thy kindred, and thy father's house, and unto a land that I will show thee. Go where God tells you. Let's look at Abraham and what he did. Go where God calls him to go. Where he does not even know. Hebrews tells us, the writer of Hebrews says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive as an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whether he went. He didn't know where he was going. He knew he was following God. And that's the faith that we need to have. That's the faith that we need to get. Even when we don't know where we're being called to, we're being called to something that's unfamiliar. We need to have Abraham's faith to obey. Hebrews 11 and 9 will continue. There he says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked not for a city with a foundation, for he looked for a city which hath a foundation, whose builder and maker is God. He was a sojourner. He was a foreigner. He sojourned there. That's what it means when it says he sojourned in the land of promise. He didn't belong there. He was a foreigner. And so he went to this land where he was a sojourner. And then we're in Genesis chapter 12. Let's go on and look at the next verses. Let's look at verse 3 now. Genesis 12 and verse 3, he says, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And remember, Haran was kind of the middle ground. He originally left Ur of Chaldees, where he was called from. And he was called to get out of his father's house and to leave his kindred and to leave his country. But he went to this Haran, and it said he dwelt there. We read that in chapter 11, verse 38, where his father took him, and that's where they were, and he dwelt there. And he stayed there until his father died. And then, now at 75 years old, he departs out of Haran. I don't know exactly when God called him and told him to go into the land of Canaan. I'm just not sure. But he says that he dwelt there in Haran, which seems like he stayed there for a while. He wasn't just passing through. He got stopped there. Stopped short of going to where God had called him. How long for us would we do that? How long will we just stop short of where God has called us to be? How long will you dwell in Haran? But now, he is obeying, he's departing out, and he goes on, and he goes into that land, and there he passes through the land as a stranger, as a foreigner. I noticed in right here in this chapter 12, in verse 6, he says, "And Abram passed through." And in verse 9, he says, "And going on still." So Abram is just passing through as a stranger. So we don't have time to read a whole lot about the life of Abram. There's lots of chapters here about Abram and the things that he did, his successes, his failures. But as I consider his life there, I notice that he seems to do much better when he lives to himself and trusts God. Seems like whenever he gets around other people, you see a fear of the other people in Abram. And he lies. He lies to them about his wife. We see that in two places. When he lets a famine drive him down into Egypt. And when he lets a famine drive him into Gerar. He gets around other people and he gets afraid of the other people. And he forgets to have his faith in God. So he has failures in his life, but he has successes. And another thing that I notice in Abraham's life is his hospitality. His willingness to serve strangers that he meets, and kindness to strangers that he meets. When he talks about him going to provide for strangers that come upon him as he travels through, it says he ran. And at that time he would have been somewhere between 75 and 100 years old. Getting on up pretty close to 100 years old. But he runs to go and to serve. Now, for time interest, let's go on and look at Abram's at the end of his life. Look at some direction for his son. Let's turn over now to Genesis chapter 24. We're to be children of Abraham, then maybe as we see the direction for Abraham's son, we can learn some things that we should have. We should learn some things from ourselves. Genesis chapter 24, let's look at verse 1. It says, "And Abraham was old." So now you see his name has been changed to Abraham instead of Abram as we were reading before. "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said to his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom we dwell. So this, in his old age, he's concerned about his son. He's trying to provide a wife for his son, but he's really concerned that he wouldn't take a wife of this culture that they dwell in. He wants his son to live like he did, as a stranger, as an outsider in this land. And I think that's why he wouldn't want him to take a wife from out of this culture. He wants him to be separated from this culture. Verse 4, as we continue reading, he says, he's talking to his eldest servant. To go back, verse 4, he says, but thou shalt go unto my country, unto my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? Now notice this word, peradventure. This servant says, peradventure. It doesn't happen. Peradventure, I can't do it the way that you asked me to. Then, should I take your son over there? So, I would think from this that he knew that Abraham did not want his son to go back over there. But he was sending this servant to go back over there. His eldest servant, I would think that means a very trusted servant. He says that he ruled over all that he had. And he sent this servant back. And so this servant says, peradventure. It means perhaps, or what if. How many times do we get hung up on the what if, and we don't even go to do what we've been called to do? What if it doesn't work out right, and we stay? But in this case, I don't blame the servant too much for asking some what if questions, because this is his job, and he's being instructed to do something, and this what if could be just clarifying of what's going on. At work, I sometimes get multiple things that I'm supposed to do, get this task, and do this task, and do this task, and I'll go back to him and say, go back to my boss and say, okay, give me some priorities on this task. What if we can't get them all done? Which ones are important? And I think that's what's going on here. This servant's task is to find Isaac a wife. But he's given some requirements about that. That he's supposed to go and get the wife was one requirement, but that it was not to be from the Canaanites. And that it was to be from his kindred, from back in his country. So there were probably lots of wrong choices, but only a few that were presented to him as being acceptable. Only from going back to his country and to get from his family. And so this servant is asking, how important is it that I go and get the bride and that we don't take Isaac back? And I point this out because I want us to understand what's going on here in this priorities as we see Abraham's response. Abraham was not changed in his perhaps. He didn't worry about what if things don't work out just the way that you want it. The perhaps didn't change him. But instead, he remembers God's provision and God's care. And he knows the instruction of being called out and being separate. Look at verse 6. And we'll see Abraham's clear response. Verse 6 and 7, and on through 8, I guess. It says, Abraham said to him, see that you do not take my son back there. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, who spoke to me and swore to me, to your offspring will I give this land. He will send his angel before you, and you shall find a wife for my son there. Abraham says, don't take my son back there. God has called me out. He remembers the calling first. He remembers that he's called out to come out of his family, out of his country, and that he would get this land that he's in now. And he doesn't want Isaac to be taken back out of this land to go back to his own culture. And he is assured that God will take care of it. God will send his angel before you, he says, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. He's sure that this is going to work. This is going to be the way it is. He trusts God in this. In verse 8, he says, but. So let's look at this is where he's answering the question of this servant. He says, but if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be free from this oath of mine. Only you must not take my son back there. There's the answer to his question of which is important. How do we prioritize these things of me going back and Isaac not going to this versus Isaac getting this wife from there? He puts his importance clearly on it. He knows that Isaac must not go back to that land. And he trusts in God. And we need to have this kind of importance on eternal matters. Abraham knew which of these goals were of most importance. It was obeying God, and that God said to come out from that land and to live somewhere else, to live in this land. And so the important part of what he wanted done was that he went and got the wife, and not that Isaac would go back. Isaac must not go back to that home country. And it was so much, if you see how he put this, the priority was so much higher that Isaac did not go back, that the other one didn't even matter. I think that's what he means when he says, you will be free from this oath. That means in comparison to not taking Isaac back, this doesn't even matter. Free from the obligation to find Isaac a wife, but still bound to not take his son back there. So look at Abram's advice. Abram's advice was to trust God to provide. This is when he's old in age, remember, and he has many experiences, and he's learned to trust God. Even when God's timing may not match our expectations, we can trust that God will keep his promises and God will provide. God will take care. And Abraham knew it, that God would provide the right wife. But you see the emphasis that he puts there. Don't go back to where we were called out of. Don't leave the land that God has called us to. And I want to apply that to us as Christians. We're children of Abraham in faith. Then don't go back to the things that we've been called out of. Don't go back, even if it's not our plan. We don't think we're going back to dwell there. I just got to go back and get some things. Get some things from out of there. There's nothing worth going back to our old life for. Don't go back. Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And the writer of Hebrews, encouraging the Hebrews there, encouraging them in the same way not to go back to the old life that they had been called out of and to lose their Christianity. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, it says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. See, you've got to realize the reward. And the thing that he's talking about here, your confidence, is to draw back from their Christianity. And we'll keep reading. It says, verse 36, he says, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith." We've got to have that faith. "But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe unto the saving of our souls." He says, we're not of those that draw back unto their own destruction, their own problems. But instead, we are those that believe unto the saving of our souls. So don't draw back. Don't cast away your confidence and realize the value of your soul. And when you realize the value of your soul and the value of being a Christian and you have your priorities right, you'll have the faith of Abraham to continue with patience no matter what the cost. Remember when we started in Galatians where he talks about being children of Abraham, or those that are of faith. And that's how we'll be blessed with faithful Abraham, is to have that patience, to have that continuance in the faith, what we've been taught. This morning, we want to extend an invitation. If you've never gone out of the problems of this world, you've never left your old life and become a Christian, you've never obeyed that call to get thee out, then we extend an invitation for you to come and make your request known if you would like to become a Christian. And if you see that you have troubles with these things and you're not fleeing away, or you have problems of just going back, then we extend an invitation.